welcome to today's another mental health centric podcast. It's Tuesday, March 12th, 15 minutes before 2 o'clock. It's great to have you here. All the reasons why it should make for an easy decision to vote for the upcoming March 19th mental health levy, which is new. I don't think it's that expensive or that burdensome, but choices like that are subjective and relative. And with that, I can give you a few minutes on a passion point of mine and maybe radio and maybe streaming. I can't see that data missed. And perhaps I'm just losing all my objectivity in this case because I really, really like something. I often say everything is subjective. Everything is relative. The cost of the mental health levy, I could say it's not much. Subjectively, you might think otherwise relative to your situation because my finances might be better and you've got little no room at the end of the month or the year and you just can't swing it. There is no objectivity needed in that because they are such personal decisions. There is really no more personal decision, maybe family and loved ones, than when it comes to money. We let the math and we let money make our decisions. I like to say I am more objective than a typical person. I think I've proven that over time now. I can be ultra logical, ultra pragmatic and practical. In fact, the evidence of that is how I have such a disconnect with so many people because people are generally pretty emotional, single-minded, selfish. It's just wired into the DNA to care about you and you alone. We've just learned to love others and other things. I lose my objectivity with this, but the Ryan Gosling song, I'm Just Ken, from the moment that I heard it, when I saw the Barbie movie last summer, I was like, this is outstanding. I loved it again when there was a holiday version of it. And to be honest, I didn't listen to the whole version from the Oscars the other night. I saw there were some really special guests on the performance. So I thought about, let me tell you this. It looks like since the beginning of the year, across all radio stations, and just about all of them are monitored across the entire country, the song's gotten played like 11 times. 11 times. And I think since Sunday, across those same amount of stations, it's been played 12 times. Now, that makes sense because it was just on the Oscars, and some people probably let a majority of the song play when they were recapping the Oscars yesterday. And again, maybe I have lost my objectivity here because I like this, which disallows me from being so scientific and logical, as I often try to be. We played a song that was like 30 years old, Kate Bush from Stranger Things in that one episode. So we played Running Up the Hill, and that was an enormous song. Was that like late summer and fall of 2022? That song was enormous. There was no denying it. It was everywhere. It was inescapable. The next one, which was only about 10 years or so ago, and there's probably many, many more, but these are the biggest critical mass ones. Kate Bush, Running Up That Hill. Miguel. A lot of people fell in love with Sure Thing. A lot of people fell in love with Sure Thing again because that song was over 10 years old, but I think it was a TikTok thing. And to be honest, I liked Miguel in that era. That Adorn song. Wasn't there a Skywalker song a few years after that? I was like, this is going to be my dude because I like neo-soul R&B type stuff like this. He never got as big as I thought he would, but he kind of did since this song was resurrected from 10 years or so ago. Sure Thing. It too became inescapable. And just recently, a song that was over 20 years old, because I think I started to play it as a club DJ and whatnot, getting into all kinds of dance music, Murder on the Dance Floor from Sophie Ellis Bextor. That re-arose from the ashes. It found its Lazarus pit to become a phoenix. After Saltburn, A movie that likely would have been even bigger if not for coming out around the holiday season. Now, there's more time for people to explore and watch things then, but the holidays discussion and talking points are not necessarily entertainment driven unless you're talking about some movie of the moment like a Spider-Man or something like that. So the movie could have been even bigger. And if you stay till the very end of the movie, you're familiar with the scene where it was not a prosthetic, one worn by one of my favorite actors, Barry Keoghan. Somebody help me with that. And as he was dancing around the house of what I won't spoil, Sophie Ellis Bextor, Murder on the Dance Floor, was playing with the title of the song. You might be able to figure out a spoiler. Those three songs, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. If we, in current music formats and even streaming places, can play those songs to where they become inescapable and ubiquitous, shouldn't we be doing the same with I'm Just Ken? I mean, it is even if it's just like a quick hit kind of thing, and it's got a very short shelf life, musically speaking, vocally speaking, it's a gorgeous song. It's a fantastic piece of music. Again, this is why, and it's funny, I was listening to a radio station in Scranton, PA yesterday, one that I was kind of familiar with because they had similarities to our station, Q105, and I wanted to see if I could pick up anything from them. Now, they have an afternoon host who's got to be, he might be 60 or older, and he's been on the radio there for years and years and years and years. But it was affirming to hear that he too was as surprised going to see that movie with the performance of Ryan Gosling and his singing performances, putting him at the top of the rankings for performances in that movie, which is exactly what I thought. Like, if he didn't do I'm Just Ken, it would have been eye to eye with just about every other actor, actress in that. But those couple performances, Matchbox 20, Push, and I threw it on the radio show today. Did we miss? Should I'm Just Ken be a radio hit? Should you vote for a new mental health levy? Yes, because the math might not be so daunting, but the reasons why you should are not daunting, but there's a pile of them. Let's get to it now. It is good to welcome back to the studio Scott Sylak, Executive Director of the Mental Health and Recovery Services Board. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for allowing me a few minutes to talk about mental health.
Not just a few, probably about 20 here, because we got some things to cover. A pretty important levy is up. But before we get to that, and the primary day is March 19th, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, before we get to that, what do you do all day? Like, what is in the purview of your role? And I'm not saying you sit around all day, but like, what do you do?
So you mean me personally or the board?
How about both? How about both?
Well, so, you know, the board is a public governmental entity. We're a division of state government, actually, closely connected to the county. Our job is to assess behavioral health needs in Lucas County, attempt to identify strategies for addressing those needs, fund those needs, evaluate what we've done, and then a big part of what the board does and what I do all day long is collaborate with other entities regarding the all of our programs and services and what other needs in the community might be.
Is there a Mental Health and Recovery Services Board or a proxy of it all over the state, all over counties in many states? Like, how prevalent is something like this?
So there are 50 Mental Health and Recovery Services Boards in Ohio that cover all 88 counties. So many boards cover more than one county, but the large metropolitan areas are usually single boards.
Okay. You've got a new home, which I've not been to yet. If people might have known, you were in one building, kind of in the center of downtown, but now you've moved closer to Summit Street, correct?
That's correct, yeah. We moved out of 701 Adams in mid-February, so we've been in our new digs about 30 days. And we moved in space vacated by ProMedica at 333 North Summit.
Is there any reason for people to come to the building itself, or when you're allocating resources, are there other places for people to go?
So a reason somebody might want to come to our building is for to partake in our public process, regarding any of our meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a variety of board meetings, and I think it's a good time for everybody to understand when I say the board, while the board itself is an entity, mm-hmm. the trustees are made up of 18 Lucas County residents, many of which have experience within our system, either themselves or their loved ones, family members, their clinicians, but they are intricately involved in the day-to-day operations. So come to our new offices, you'd be able to partake in any of our open public meetings. And we have quite a few other events related to, agency discussions, things like that, public forums that people are always welcome to.
I know all of us like convenience as much as possible, and I try to do my best with relaying messages when I feel that they have truth and conviction behind them. So I would encourage people to take advantage of what you just offered. Go to the meetings. It hurts my heart and my advocacy when people tell me that, to be quite honest, and I know it's only 2 years old, 988 was not what they had hoped for. Mm-hmm. Some of our community mental health places, they feel like they get lost in the system a little bit. I mean, I know it's kind of a cliche that we could all do better, but this is not like when you get an oil change where we're talking about people's brains here. So it seems like take Scott up on the offer to come here and share these stories face to face so that you and the entities you work with can make these things better, right?
Absolutely. We have an open session at every public meeting where people are encouraged to stand up and just give their thoughts, and obviously, if people have thoughts beyond that, they can always email. We have you go to our website and, lcmhrsb.oh.gov, and there is a place where you can do a web mail, to no specific person. Just go ahead and send us your thoughts. We incorporate all of that into our planning strategies each year. But you touched on something that I wanted to talk a little bit about.
Please.
Too as well. 988.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand the disappointment around 988. Nothing ever works the way that it was planned to, in the beginning. We actually have our own number in Lucas County as well.
741?
741-741 is the crisis text line, but we have 419-904-CARE, which is our crisis line. Now, 988 and our crisis line connect. So it's not like if you called one, you wouldn't get the help you need. A lot of times 988 is easier for people to use. But the reality is that is answered in Lima, Ohio.
Okay.
They do the best they can to mitigate their services there, or for what people are calling for. But we really encourage people to call local. The crisis line is man 24/7 at Zeph Center. They know the resources in our community. They know the street addresses. They know how to direct you to get the help you need. But beyond all that, just making a phone call is always encouraged. Don't let a 988 or a 741-741 or 904-CARE stop you. Talk to somebody.
Does the local number, does that take text messages as well, or is that just phone calls?
No, that's just phone calls. So you can do text messages. And the other thing, if people are interested in identifying where to go get help, is you can go to our www.lcmentallywell.com and you can download our new app. We have a local help now Lucas County app where you can scroll through the treatment services that are available in Lucas County. There's about 40 different agencies that provide treatment in Lucas County, and we're working to bring the rest online. There's also adult care facilities. There's crisis services. There's other housing services, where to go get other support, all within the palm of your hand, in the privacy of your own home or wherever you want to be, and then you can connect with them and go get help that way.
we're fortunate because there are resources out there, and not everything is going to work for everybody. The kind of the analogy I use with my medications, what works for me might not work for you because all of our body chemicals are different. In fact, today I hopped into my Cigna app to, I had to check to see if I could get a colonoscopy for free. I know, too much info, but still, healthy lifestyles. I saw there was a whole mental wellness aspect of it where the EAP offers were right in your face. In fact, the first prompt you get when you click on mental wellness is, how are you feeling today? And then it points you in a different direction. It offers a couple of apps for mindfulness. And I'm glad to see that more insurance carriers are offering this and offering mental health help. I know many still don't, but sometimes the resources you want might be right underneath your nose, but we don't look at them because we're still doing kind of doing things the old way. Let me get out my insurance card. I'll call you up. And that's too much of a hassle. Never mind. It'll go away. When really, what was the app again?
It was Local Help Now, Lucas County. It's www.lcmentallywell.com. And you can actually go and scan the QR code and it will load right to your phone. You can save it to your home screen so you can always have it. I have it on my phone right here.
Before we get to the levy, we serve, 27,000 people last year as a county?
Yeah, in state fiscal year 23, which was July to June of 23, our treatment network, the people that we fund, served 26,781 Lucas County residents last year.
That number has to be up drastically from years past.
Yeah, the years prior, COVID affected, about 22,000. And we know that a lot more people are getting care than what's in those numbers because there are over 70 organizations in Lucas County that can provide treatment services. And we only see about 20 of them.
Mm-hmm. What is that up from? How long have you been with the board as director?
I've been the executive director here for just over 13 years now.
So how have those numbers changed? I'm sure in 13 years, as I like to talk about, when I began my journey to figure my stuff out, it was now almost 18 years ago. And in mental health time for me, that might as well be 50 years for how far we've come, and we needed to in such a short time. How have those numbers changed, and what's your perspective shift been in your time?
So what we've seen is that we've had a tremendous growth of the number of organizations that have come into Lucas County to provide behavioral health care. So I don't, our board doesn't have funding relationships with many of those boards or agencies, so we don't actually see their data. But what we have seen is for the data that we do see, it's dropped a little bit from, 7-8 years ago, but that's because more agencies have come in and people are going to different agencies. Our health equity efforts, for instance, individuals may want a Latino bilingual counselor. Well, many of our providers don't always have that. So they go to a private agency, or you might want an African-American clinician. So you might go to a different organization. But what we've seen since post-COVID is an increase of about, 4,000 people. So there was 22,000 in fiscal year 22, and then we've seen 26 in almost 27.
It's a moving target. I didn't consider the factors that you mentioned, like there's agencies you don't work with and you don't get their data. Right. I look at it as the number could be the same. Could be 27,000 this year, could be 27,000 15 years ago. But some people might have dropped off because, or some people, maybe the math on that was wrong, but more people than ever, I think, are getting help. But there's also likely more people than ever who might be some self-diagnosing and might not necessarily need to be in the system as intensively as they are. Or maybe that unto itself says you need to talk to somebody. So the numbers, when they grow, are both a little concerning to me, but also positive that people are finally addressing, you can get along with a broken leg. When your brain is broken, you're not getting out of bed.
So, I think that's a great analogy, and from my perspective, while I represent a system of care, right, I want people to get help. And the first step is to talk to somebody. It might be a licensed clinician. It might be your best friend. It might be your parents. It might be a school teacher. It might be a faith-based, a reverend pastor, whomever, I don't really care.
Right.
I just want you to talk to somebody and maybe get the help that you need, because I truly believe that change comes within the context of a relationship. So whoever you connect with, that person is in the best position at that point in time to help you.
And now we get into a lot of the fundamentals that I share. If the counselor doesn't work, go to another one. It's not a marriage agreement. Go somewhere else. If you need somebody niche, whether it's for youth or a person of color, gay, lesbian, we have these out there now. There is always someone to talk to. And if that person doesn't work, go to somebody else. Eventually, like myself, you'll land on somebody and you're like, where have you been all my life? And unfortunately, I know that that process takes time, but it can be so rewarding, as it should be.
Absolutely. And you know, each effort through your journey of recovery builds upon itself. And one thing I would mention is the app that we developed helps you sort for that. If you want to sort for African-American counselors, you can do that. Latino, bilingual, LGBTQ+. There are many different sections that you can page through. It's a great analogy, you know, where you say if one doesn't work, it doesn't, you know, you just move to the next. The reality is, you know, behavioral health isn't much different than regular health care type services. Mm-hmm. When you go to the doctor, they might give you a prescription and that may or may not work for whatever that is, you know. And so that there's no difference between behavioral health and physical health in that perspective. Some things don't, and you keep tweaking.
It's a scary thing in the sense that there is a spectrum and a continuum, a prism of talent in everything. Right. That doesn't really affect your life when it comes to radio hosts. Some are better than others. But when that comes to like airline pilots and people dealing with your health, that can be a little scary. But unfortunately, that's the case. And maybe better simply means they understand the words that you can't get out of your brain, but they see what's going on inside of you instinctively because of their training, and they're the person that can help you, whether it's writing the right script or doing, as I like to say, neurosurgery on your brain with words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other thing that is you know, getting with a person who can get you to a point where you can start to take better care of yourself. Right. So often the illness is so debilitating that you don't know which way to go. You don't know what to do. You know, you need to do something, but the illness is holding you back. And then as you elevate your cognitive abilities to manage your own disease, then you really start to flourish.
And we want people out of therapy. Maybe not totally. Like I've backed off. I go now like every 3 months. Mm-hmm. But that's if it's a really intense situation, maybe you're going 2 or 3 times a week. But again, with that right person, and if there's a script needed, maybe you're going once a month. So while the disease is likely forever, we can manage it. But talking to somebody, sitting in an office or a group is not always necessarily a forever thing. We've talked a lot about what the Mental Health and Recovery Services Board of Lucas County does, what you do on a daily basis, what kind of help is out there. This all comes from levy funding. If I'm not mistaken, this is new because the one a couple of years ago was a renewal, correct?
Yeah, we actually have 3 different levies. We have a 1 mil levy that was first passed in 2012, and that was the 22 renewal 2 years ago that we just straight renewal. Then we have a 0.5 mil levy that expires at the end of 2024 on March 19th. When the 1 mil additional levy passes, we'll let that 0.5 mil levy expire. So there'll be a net gain of 0.5 mils, but it's also a net gain of $5.3 million in funding. And then we have a 1 mil levy that renews in 2028.
So until the 2028, how much is a Lucas County resident going to be paying, subtracting the 1 levy while this one takes over? Is it like $35 a year?
So the 1 mil levy, when passed on March 19th, will be $35 a year. But it's only a net difference of $23 because you're already paying $12.
Right. Okay. Got it. Boy, I didn't sign up for the math for this.
I know.
That's the one thing that bends my brain. So how and where can people vote? And a quick aside, how challenging is this when it's not on a big ballot? I'm not even talking about a presidential year like we're in, but just people know to go to the second Tuesday in November. March 19th is a little odd.
It is, but it is the presidential primary. We have a number of races within Lucas County that are drawing. We have congressional races, we have local commissioners races, judges races. So, you know, yes, the turnout won't be like a general election or even a governor's, you know, for a president or governor, because they run in alternate even years, you know, 22, 24, 26. But it will be substantial. But the true benefit of running in the primary for us right now is we are the only countywide ballot. For social services. So we get to tell our story. We are the only one on the stage. And so that's important for us because everybody believes that mental health services are important and behavioral health services are important. But when it starts competing with other space in your head, it sometimes can get lost.
Sure. And you've got to decide what's more important, streets, as an example, schools. You talked about how it affects everybody, and I saw it as part of a story that was maybe an editorial or something in the past couple of days, whether it was on the Blade or one of the other news sources. One of the hard to shift narratives here is we know everybody has a brain and it can break at any point, but somebody else's broken brain can affect you. We hope it never does. And I think you alluded to a statistic in the story that I read, but the one that I read that I was so glad to see, because I don't have a lot of interaction with this person. I think the Wood County Sheriff said that the Wood County Jail is the second largest state hospital for mental health or illness in the state. And I was so glad to see someone of a position of authority say that. Can you speak to that, please?
Sure. Well, we know that people with behavioral health disorders come in contact with law enforcement all the time. A lot of times they will end up in a detention facility, right? At the board, we're trying to create mechanisms so that they don't end up in a detention facility. Now, obviously, there has to be accountability, right?
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff will tell you, and I think that was actually data that we put together several years ago, that 66% of the people in the detention center, Lucas County Detention Center, had a behavioral health disorder. We did a point in time study last October where we looked at everybody who was in the Lucas County Detention Center on a given day by name and crossed it with our information. And we found 69% of them had received a service from our board, and 45% of them had received it in the last year.
And if you cut those numbers in half because there was pre-treatment or someone got to treatment in time, who knows how many, hopefully just small to medium-sized crimes we would have prevented, which comes back to this affects so many people in ways they might not see, but we're starting to change that narrative.
Absolutely. You know, yes, there's a way of, you know, the cost of just booking somebody in the jail and then taking care of them, even for 24 hours or 36 hours, is more expensive than getting them connected to treatment, for sure. But there's also accountability factor, right? There's individuals who break the law, depending upon what that law is. They may or may not need a little bit of rest in a detention facility. Mm-hmm. But just because you're there doesn't necessarily mean you shouldn't get the care you need. And
1,000%.
That's really what we are trying to enact with this new money, is we want a more robust treatment service within the Lucas County Correction Center, because that has huge downstream effects in the rest of our system. If we can stabilize you while the criminal justice process is going on in the correctional facility, when you get out, because 99% of everybody's getting out of the corrections facility. Not everybody's going to prison and staying in prison, right? And now we're just talking local. That means our agencies that are serving those providers will, or those patients will, have so much more to work with. I won't have to worry about finding you a hospital bed. Right. I won't have to worry about, well, do you need crisis stabilization? I can start in on treating you directly from there.
Last question. Another question that I get frequently, whether it's low cost or out and out free, when somebody asks those questions, like, I'm ready to chat with somebody, I'm ready to reconsider medication again, I don't have insurance, whatever it might be, is there free or low cost services that the mental health board can offer or point someone in the direction of?
That's exactly what your tax levy dollars do for Lucas County residents, is provide, first of all, we provide crisis services to everybody, regardless of income. But then our board funds treatment services for those who can't afford it, up to 250% of poverty routinely, and we can actually go up to 350% of poverty under certain conditions. And that's about $50,000 a year for one person. So, you know, we hear two things, right? I don't know where to go, and I don't know how to pay for it.
Yeah.
This system of care actually handles both of those items.
Yeah. Again, to reiterate, the resources are out there. It can be a jungle to navigate through, but once you wade your way through, whether it's a niche need or just a gateway into helping your brain, it's out there. Scott Silek, Executive Director, Mental Health and Recovery Services Board, I will let you go back to all those day job things you have now. Thank you so much.
Thanks, sir.